There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Ooh. What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal cardio, man. We back. You ever take a swig of water and it was just like, shoot, my bad. And it'd be right. It hit your soul just right. Where you just be like, damn. That's what I felt like just now with that sip. I felt it go through my whole system. You ever get that water where you just feel it go through your whole system? You feel your body reacting to it. It's just like, man, you feel it going down. That's the beauty of that water, man. Make sure y'all drinking it. Water is everything, man. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary, y'all, man. Drink that water. Make it a priority. Not the soda, not the coffee, not the bullshit Gatorades y'all drinking. All the extra fancy shenanigans and all that going on. Get you some regular water. Yeah, you can drink that other stuff, the coconut waters and all that, but just get some regular water up in your system too. You know what I'm saying? Don't be listening to the horse shit. People, you know you can drink too much water now. You know some people got water allergies. All right. Whatever, man. It's October. Instagram is tripping. I couldn't go IG live today. I'm sure the patron saints are happy about that because y'all always be like, cut them off. So this episode is probably right up your alley because it's like, yeah, man, they cut off. They cut off. And I want to give a shout out to my patron saints in here, man. Nicole LaRose, Tamara, Candy Cammy, Ray, Sherry Tucker, Crunchy Apple, Aries Taurus, Tony Ant, Miss Jade, S. Moni, Tiftastic, Coco, Charles Cooper, Ryan, Shay Love, Randomly CJ, Ty Nutter Jr., Miss Crawford, Alice, Jamal B., Passionate for God, Sherry Tucker Funds, 1218, you know what I'm saying? E Short Sacks, Nicola Rose, Charles Cooper, Dallas D., man, Deanne. Shout out to y'all, man. I appreciate y'all being patron saints. Paid members at that. Paid members. You know, Mish, Matt Owens, Gladys Diaz, Zakia. I appreciate y'all, man. The reason I brought up it's October is because we ain't done a paranormal episode in a while, man. It's been a while. It's been a while since we did a paranormal joint. And it's October. I feel like we've been letting the month slip on past. We watched something scary the other night in the movie night. We watched Salem's Lot. It was a good time. You know, it wasn't too scary. It was kind of light on the real terror for me, but it was enjoyable. I gave it a solid 3 saxophones out of 5. You know, it was a good time. It was October, you know. And I know horror and scary stuff is not everybody's cup of tea. You know, I know everybody's not into that. You don't want to hear no stories. You don't want to see no visuals. I get it. But I enjoy a good horror movie, a good fright fest, a good marathon of just stuff that's scary and creepy. And I love real life paranormal stories. So I had the patron saints email me real stories on the creepy tip. And they did just that. And I'm going to read them right here on the show. I'm going to let y'all get in there. I'm going to let you get your feet together. But that's the road we going down on this episode of Verbal Cardio, man. We getting creepy. we getting creepy out here, man. You know, we hearing creaks. We hearing the house settle. You know, I watched The Terrifier 3 this weekend, and somebody actually said that in the movie. Oh, that's just a house settling. Listen, man, I need all houses to settle the fuck down. Houses, if any house is listening to my podcast, settle while everybody's not home. That's when you do your settling. Whatever this settle is, house, do it when we not home. Don't be settling when we in the living room or when we going up the stairs or, you know, we in the bedroom. Nah, man. You do that settle when we at work or school, whatever. Stop settling when we vulnerable. And damn sure, don't settle when we in the shower. Please don't be settling when we in the shower. I don't want to hear the attic creaking while we in the shower. We butt-ass naked and we vulnerable. Don't do that. Whatever the hell that is. We lathered, man. We lathered up. We are vulnerable, man. That's the scary. The scariest thing is when you hear noise when you in the shower. You in mid-shower. You're not ready. You're not ready. You ain't got no weapons in there. You butt-ass naked. You lathered up. You're wet. You're slippery. So even if you do got to run, you're going to slip and slide. You're going to break your neck trying to escape. Twist your ankle, tear your ACL, slide down. Then when you go down for the count, you butt-ass naked down for the count. That's another thing you got to do. You butt-ass naked down for the count. Now you're slipping and slide. I don't want to go out like that. When I go out, I want to be dressed. Like if I end up dead, please let me be dressed. I don't want the medical staff coming in and see me butt-ass. I don't want my family members coming in seeing me butt-ass naked with the shower curtain pulled down because I died in the shower. Or I died. If I die on the toilet, oh, man. Please don't let me die on the toilet. Because some people have died on the toilet. And that's just the worst of the worst. And do you flush? Like, whoever finds you dead, we flushing? What's the protocol? Do y'all need deposits in the toilet for cause of death? Do you need that as part of the investigation on how you died? Or do we flush? Because I'm a flush. If I find you dead on the toilet, I'll be like, no. I'm a flush just on the strength. But I don't know what the protocol is when you know. You find somebody dead on the toilet. My first order of business is that flush. And then they'll be like, no. These are things we got to think about, man. You got to think about how you're going to go out. And I know you're dead. You're not going to care no more. But I'd be thinking about the living. I'd be thinking about the living. The ideal place would be in my bed. Where I'm just in my bed. I want my hands like this, and I just want to be like, I got no regrets. Like this. That's ideal. Or if I'm even laying on my side, and I just, you find me like that, like, Tony, no, oh, no. That would be the ideal find. No. I'm already covered up. You could just call the medical people and they could just come and you'd be like, that's the ultimate way to go out, man. Just this. And then, no, whoever finds me. But the cold part is I just live with the cats. So how long would it be before I'm found? That's what I think about. I live alone. I sleep with my bedroom door closed so the cats won't even be in there. The cats are going to be in the house. I feel like it might be like a week and a half before somebody comes and checks. Might be a week and a half. Depending. Because it could be like, you know, people that hit me up on the regular be like, where Tony at? He ain't posted nothing. He ain't did this. Huh. I text him. He didn't reply. Because normally I'm good at replying. And then you text again. He still ain't replied. Hey, anybody seen Tony? And then you start asking around, and then you're going to hit up somebody that lives semi-close to me, and then that's when they're going to go over there. Now, there are a few people that have my, you know, house code. So that's Janelle, Keenan, Sincere, and Kiana, who's my friend slash real estate person, because they've watched the cast before. So those four people might be able to go over and see what's going on. So I think in a few days, somebody will probably come over. Because if you haven't seen me post, and then I'm not responding to your text, that should be a red flag. Because I'm very responsive. So people be like, hey, man, somebody go over there and see what Tony, see if he alive. And then boom. And then hopefully the cats will be like, cats going to be like, man, where the food at? When you come over, they're going to be like, where's the food? Tony over here tripping, man. Because they already be acting like I don't feed them. It's been hours. They be on my neck, man. Meow, meow, meow. I was like, bro, y'all need to stop acting like I don't feed y'all. You got me looking bad in these pet owner streets. You out here screaming bloody murder, scrambling, running over there to the food dish. Like, man, relax. You just ate, especially midnight. He be doing the most. I be like, bro, stop acting like I don't feed you on the regular basis. Relax, man. I got you. He got that twang on his meow. He got that gang, gang, gang. I'll be like, man, hush, man. You got plenty of food. We got the dry. We got the wet. I need you to relax. Damn. And I'm hungry, man. I'm hungry, too. You don't see me tripping, man. I'm hungry as well. I take my sweet time. I wait. I sit. I order my food. At Mendocino Farms, I get my salad. I sit in the corner. I don't be pressing them. I don't be behind the counter rubbing their legs. I just wait. I'll be like, oh, all right. I put my order in. I'll go sit in the corner quietly. I'm not out here talking to them. I'm not hovering as they prepare the stuff, watching them. Mm-mm. Hell no. And since we're in a paranormal episode today, where are the animal ghosts, the pets, the dead pets? Do they come back? Do they come back to the litter box? Do you hear the food dish rattle? Wait a minute. Hey, did you hear the food dish? Do you hear meows in the night? Yang? Yang? Midnight? Is that you? Is that you? I feel like, do pets come back to visit the living? I want to know. The ghost, exactly, Crunchy Apple, the ghostly paws. Is that a thing? I want to know, man. Because we've all lost, I mean, us pet owners, we've all lost a pet or two. You know what I'm saying? We're not out here getting tortoises and parrots. We out here outliving our pets. I lost Fluffy, Shadow. You know what I'm saying? Misty. What was her name? Cece. Kiki ran away, but I feel like she gone. Keena. Martin. You know, so many pets of Lady. Champagne. So many pets have gone by the wayside. But like, they don't come back to visit, though. No church from Pet Cemetery. It sounds like a DMX verse. You wild, Raven. All right, so let me pay these bills and we get into the paranormal shenanigans, if you will. So I wanted to speak on earn in, y'all. Money be tight. Money be tight. And when you work a 9-to-5, you got to wait for your check. Sometimes you need that money now, man. Because life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so watch your payday. You know what I'm saying? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earn In, man. Earn In, all right? EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. All you got to do is download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip drill. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. All right. So it could be car trouble, special night out, house repairs, medical bills, vet bills. It could be any type of stuff that popped up that you wasn't ready for. You know, school supplies. You got to get something for your kids for school, whatever the case may be. EarnIn has got you. So make EarnIn a part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." And that's what you want, man. You want that peace of mind. You want that peace of mind. So download EarnIn today, spell EARNIN in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Verbal Cardio under podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's Verbal Cardio under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max, see earnin.com/TOS for details. EarnIn is a financial technology company. They are not a bank. I repeat, they are not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. So get in on that, man. We need that peace of mind. We need that peace of mind. Man, I wish EarnIn was around when I was working at Dairy Queen in Mersh. Where were you when I needed you? Where were you? What y'all know about that, man? All right. So I got a few stories in here. And I'm going to queue up the very first one that was sent. It's from Shawnisha Hampton. Okay. Sorry if I gave you your full government away. All right. So, first of all, she got multiple stories. She got more than one. You know what I'm saying? They quick and short. We got more than one. So here we go. Here we go, y'all. Get your feet together. All right. Yeah, we gotta make it creepy in here for this. Yeah, Amir got it on lock, man. You feel me? All right, first one. There's a crack in the ceiling where it meets the wall. A few times, there was a light shining through the crack. No one was in the attic or even home with me. It was nighttime. I asked, "What do you want?" And the light blinked out like somebody blew out a candle or turned off a flashlight. That has happened several times. I'm learning about my hoodoo heritage, so I'm seeing all kinds of signs of the reconnection. The second one, all right, this happened right after two close family members died from COVID in 2021. My cousin passed on August 25th at around 3 a.m., and I woke up because I heard her calling my name, "Hey, Shawnisha," over and over. So the only one in my family that uses my first name, she's the only one, my bad. I didn't officially find out she passed away until 5-ish. The next week, my auntie passed on September 1st at 6:30-ish. We all rushed to the hospital around 5:30, but they wouldn't let us see her because of COVID. I kept hearing, "You skinny bitch," and hey, Maya. That's what she always called me because I'm the only skinny one in the family. Those two were the glue, and now they are gone. It's been hell. Hell no. Now, here's my question. Here's my question on that. How'd you feel? You know what I'm saying? How'd you feel knowing that, yo, I heard them straight up, but they gone. Did you feel fear, peace, joy, comfort? What was the feeling on that? Because, like, that's wild. You know? And yeah, it's a loved one, it's a family member, you love them, but at the same time, that's some crazy shit that happened. And I often ask, were you scared? Were you, you know, how do you feel after something like that? And so for me, I would imagine for me, I would feel like, oh, I would probably feel like comfort. I don't think I would be scared. Because, you know, if I heard Serene talking to me, I would feel like, first of all, I would have like different emotions. I would have, of course, sadness, but I would also be excited because it's like, yo, he's trying to communicate with me. There's something else. There's, you know, and if they're talking to me, I'm like, all right, you good? I would want a conversation, obviously, but it would just bring me comfort to know that, you know, that he communicated with me and that there's something else. And I would be amazed and I would just be like, yo, it's real. It's real. Like, you know, because stuff like that is just incredible. You can't always trust those voices because it might not be them. Now we're getting scary, Gladys. Gladys Diaz said, but you can't always trust those voices because it might not be them. See, now I'm scared right now because, you know, they say like, they say the demons come as someone you might recognize or as a loved one to lure you in. And so now I'm like, now I'm shook. You just swayed me that quick. Now I'm just like, oh, snap. Who is it somebody in disguise or is it really you? Now I got questions. Because demons got the inside scoop on you. They got the inside scoop. And they treacherous and they sneaky and they, you know what I'm saying? They gonna do whatever they got to do to get ahead in the afterlife. So I guess it is, y'all are saying it's based on the feelings more so than anything else. Wow. Got to ask a secret question to see if they legit. That's true. But what if demons got the full scoop? They know about the nicknames and the secret stories and the, yeah, remember that one time? Yeah, the password was this. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know. All right, let's go to another story, man. Let's go to another story from Janine or Janine Cannon. I hope I said it right. This story is short and sweet. All right, here we go. All right. Back in the late 90s, I looked up in midday and I saw a round light object bouncing / flying around in the sky and then it just disappeared. The movements were unlike anything that was possible with our aircrafts. And it was like small round ball of light moving sporadically and then just poof, it was gone. I definitely believe in UFOs and life outside of this planet. See, now we on some UFO extraterrestrial type shit. Now we like, oh, there's life on other planets as well, which I believe. Here's what I believe. I'm not entirely sure that we have been visited by aliens from another world. I don't know 100%, but I do believe 1,000% that there is life out there in the universe outside of us. It's just, based on the numbers, it's just too much. It's just too much out there for it to just be us. Now, with that logic, all right, there are other galaxies out there that are older than our own, right? And there are so many planets within that habitable zone of their stars that it's in the trillions. They can't even keep count of how many planets are in the habitable zones of their solar system or whatever. And so given the odds of all those different planets, all those different galaxies, all of that going on, the amount of time that has been displayed, stuff that's as old as we are, as old as this solar system is, there's stuff out there even older that gives life time to develop on these planets. So I feel like it has to be life elsewhere. It has to be. Whether it's microbial, whether it's, you know, just vegetation, sea life, you know, they could be in the dinosaur phase, whatever the case may be, it's gonna be different than what we think it is. It ain't gonna be like this. You know, it's gonna be different. Now, what if a planet did develop? It's way older than they're billions of years older than Earth. They got us by 5 billion, right? They had way more time to develop as a planet. This is that and the third, evolution, all kind of stuff going on. What if it was an intelligent civilization that was able to create? And look at what we've created. Look at what we've created as humans. You know what I'm saying? We trash, yes, but we have created some amazing things. The fact that I'm sitting in here right now talking to y'all live as I sit, and you can see and hear me right now from wherever you are, all of you are in different places, and we just communicating right now. That shit is amazing. The fact that we was able to cook up all of this whole studio, the lights, you know what I'm saying? The clothes, the shirt I got on, all of this is just, yo, we developed all this in a relatively short amount of time when you think about astronomical numbers. And so then we build stuff to take us to space and satellites and imagery and all this stuff. It's like we put out a satellite that went beyond the solar system. And they developed that back in the 70s and sent that shit out. It's still out there moving and grooving right now. Still out there going 35,000 miles per hour through the universe. So it's like, so imagine a civilization that's older than us that had time to develop their technologies and whatever they're doing. They got us by billions of years. And they're like, yeah, man, we perfected space travel. We know how to do it now. Because if you give us an extra million or 1.5 million years, no telling what we're going to develop. If we're still around, you know what I'm saying? Global warming, we tearing up the planet at the same time, you know what I'm saying? But what if they developed something to where it allowed them to jump planets? They moving and grooving. They found out how to do wormhole travel. So now they don't have to travel millions of years just to get somewhere. What if they figured that out? What if they like, all right, man, we just going to wormhole it. We're going to wormhole it. We're going to cut the time in half because that's what we have developed. Think about what we have developed on the short end of this. We went from horse travel. We traveling by mule, camel, horse. Then we like, hey, man, trains. Now we got cars. Now we got airplanes. Now we got jets. Then we go to space shuttles. What if this civilization was like, yeah, yeah, we're going through all that. We're going through all that. Now we're traveling in space. How can we figure out how to get to other galaxies quicker without having to travel for 700,000 years to get to the nearest such and such? So I feel like for alien life to have visited us, they would have to have learned how to shorten the distance and get here. And even if they did have something to do with the pyramids, like conspiracy theorists think, that means, you know, they were here what, thousands of years ago to establish the pyramids. And then, you know, so they've been visiting us for that long, going back and forth. And what civilization is this? And have we been visited by multiple civilizations? Is it like aliens from different worlds, like coming through, like, man, we've been picking up y'all radio signal, so we pulled up. And they'd be like, oots, 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 oots. Yeah, we heard your radio signal. That's why we here, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we figured out y'all still in regular space shuttles? That's crazy, man. So y'all don't know how to shorten the distance, you see? Because you know they're going to be cocky with the info. You know people get cocky when they more intelligent than you. Oh, y'all still traveling like this? It's going to take you 9 months to get to Mars? Man, that shit crazy. We've been on that type shit, man. It's going to take y'all 9 months to get to Mars. Man, y'all doing it wrong. We've been out here, you know, cutting the time in half. You know what I'm saying? It's all about the wormholes, you see? You got to use the wormhole. Why we use the wormholes? Yeah, you'll figure it out. We out. Gone. And so they're just throwing it in our face. Anyway, that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother podcast, man. We're getting back into the paranormal stories. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right, this one is from Eddie Greer. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Eddie Greer. Hey, Tony. My name is Eddie MC No Hammer. That's his name on here. And here's my paranormal story. I was maybe no older than 10 years old, and my father and I were leaving my grandmother's house. Near her house was a large cemetery that everyone gets buried at. It was pretty late at night, so of course it was dark. You know, we out there and the cemetery was closed. As my father was driving by, I saw this young girl standing inside the closed entryway gate into the cemetery. She looked like she could have been in her 20s with transparent, pale skin, dark blonde hair, with what looked like a flowy white gown. I started yelling at my dad, asking, "Do you see that girl inside the cemetery gate?" He thought I was tripping, asking, what are you talking about?" I turned and looked back at her in the passenger seat as we passed by, and she was gone. It wasn't scary, but the trippy part about it was that it was like she knew I was going to look in that direction right at that moment, and she looked like she was at peace and tranquil, just looking at cars pass by on the road. I will never forget that, and always wondered, was I the only person that saw her? That's my story. Appreciate everything you're doing out here, Eddie G / MC No Hammer. Yo, that's that. Eddie, you in here? First of all, you in here. I want to know what city that is. You know what I'm saying? Give me the city, man. Take me there. Give me the city. And that's the classic ghost visual right there. What he described, that's that classic ghost shit that we always think about. The little white girl, the flowy dress, the paleness. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you think about a ghost, those are the types of visuals that pop in your mind first. Kansas City. Oh, see. When and if, strong if I go back to Kansas City, now I want to go by that cemetery. Because I drove around Kansas City quite a bit, and, you know, the Midwest cemeteries be next level creepy, man. The Midwest cemeteries? I went to the cemetery in Cleveland. I took a picture of a statue. It was on my Tony Baker Randomly page. It was mad creepy, man. Midwest got some creepy visuals, and so does the East Coast. But that story right there was like, that was like the perfect, like, ghost visual of just like what you imagine, like, you know, seeing a ghost at the cemetery, at the gate. And it was that typical, it was like, "Hey, yo, Dad, you see that?" He's like, "Man, what you talking about, man? You crazy." And he driving, you just look back, and then they gone. That's that movie visual we've seen time and time again. Except he really saw it. In Kansas City, no doubt. They had barbecue after that. That's crazy. All right, we're going to another story. Boom. All right. On this one, Amir, we're just going to keep it dark. We're going to keep the lights off, and we're just going to talk in the dark. Hey, I got y'all. All right. Here we go. This is from Brenda Ford. Shout out to Brenda Ford. You know what I'm saying? My brother passed away in 2003. Sorry for your loss, Brenda. He had a dog named Echo. My parents, my brother's other siblings, and and I all convened at my brother's house for two nights at 6 p.m. Echo barked at the coat closet. On night number two, Echo started barking, and my mother said in a loud voice, "Frank, leave Echo alone." He didn't bark at the closet after that. Another story involving my brother: Frank's ex-girlfriend's daughter has two sons. The oldest might have been 3 years old at the time. One day he asks, "Mom, who is Sunshine?" His mother turned pale and froze. That was the name my brother called her, and no one knew that, especially her three-year-old. Thanks for reading. I might miss the live, but I always watch. Brenda Ford. Yo, that's crazy right there, because it's like, first of all, I don't know why he was messing with Echo. Like, Echo was like, "Hey, man, get out the closet, man. I know you did, man. Stop playing, man." Because animals know. I feel like animals have a connection to the earth, the world, and what's going on. And I feel like they got a connection to spirits as well. So the dog was like, "Hey, he in the closet messing with me." And the fact that Frank was just like, "All right, I'm going to chill. But Frank busy out here. He communicating. Then you talking to the daughters as well? Frank out here. All right. This next story is from Crystal Jordan. All right. Shout out to Crystal Jordan, a.k.a. Cyan. Appreciate you. All right. Hi, Tony. I actually have a few. All right. All of us have the ability to sense things from the other side. Some are more sensitive and connected than others, but we all have it. I have the ability to sense loved ones who have passed, use my intuition to guide me, and most recently, my precognition has been on point. I have learned to use it to help others and myself. Now, to the stories / experiences, her experiences. One, I was on my way to a retreat in Sedona, Arizona, traveling with two other women. We decided to stop at a restaurant for a glass of wine. As we sat there enjoying our drinks, I saw a man who looked like Mr. Clean standing next to my friend with his hands on her shoulder. I asked her if her father or grandfather had passed away, and she said, "Yes, my grandfather." I asked if he was tall and bald. She said he was short with a head full of hair. After some time, she shared that she recently attended a dinner for her father-in-law to celebrate his birthday. She started to show us pictures on her phone of the event. As I scrolled through the pictures, I saw the man I had previously seen standing next to her. I pointed him out, letting her know, "This is who I saw." To my surprise, he was alive and well. I started to doubt my abilities, thinking my spidey senses were off. We attended the 3-day retreat as usual. The morning after returning home, I received a text from my friend stating that during the time we were at the restaurant, her father-in-law had a heart attack, and it was around the exact time I saw him standing next to her. Fast forward about 5 years later, in April 2023, I saw him shortly after midnight standing in the doorway of my room. He was in hospice, and he passed away a few minutes prior to seeing him. Wow. Wow. Story two. I was in Vietnam in January this year. One of the hotels I stayed at had a lot of activity. As soon as I pulled up, I noticed that when they handed me my room key, I knew. The first night I slept with the lights on. The second night, they tried to make contact, and I ran out of the room with no shoes and just my purse. I went back with my friend to get my things and slept in her room that night. I did not stick around to see what they wanted. It was a good feeling. The majority of the time, I encountered Casper, the friendly ghost. This was not that. Because of these experiences, I do not watch scary movies. Laugh out loud. I have many more, but I will leave you with those. Crystal, keep these stories coming. The fact that you have this ability and you are in tune with this kind of stuff, keep the stories coming. I want to know. I would watch your series If you had a series about all your experiences, I want to know. And the thing is, like with the bald older gentleman, so he had just had a heart attack that first time, but he survived. And then when he actually passed away, that's when he was in your doorway. Let me know on that. And how you be feeling? Like, how you do you feel since you're in here in the chat right now? Did when he was standing in the doorway, how did you feel in that moment? Like, is it like not scared, but the one in Vietnam scared me because it was. Because to me, like from the outside looking in, you know, I don't have these abilities like you do, of course. But I would immediately be scared because somebody's standing there. And I'm just like, oh. But I feel like there must be like an energy that when a spirit does visit you, they emit like a feeling of calmness, of like... It has to be a warm energy that they emit for us to not freak out in that moment. Or like, you know, like you did in the hotel, you got the hell out of Dodge because the energy was off. And so I feel like it's amazing that, because I feel like once we pass, we're energy even in the living. Like, you know, people that are alive and well in your face and you're like, man, this energy is trash. Or like, I'm not feeling the energy. And I feel like that energy is just heightened, like when we pass away, because now we're all energy. You know, there's no real physicality anymore. Now it's just pure energy. And so I'm like, he must have put that energy out there. So when he is standing in your doorway, you're not freaking out and scrambling and hustling with no shoes on in your purse. So I always find that like intriguing, like, yo, when you see something. Because right now, on the outside looking in, I don't want to see nobody standing in my goddamn doorway, man. It's just me in the crib. Don't be standing in my doorway, man. I don't want to be looking at my laptop laughing at Abbott Elementary. The hell you doing in my doorway? Who are you? How you get in here? I got a question. But I feel like y'all be seeing stuff and be like, oh, there's a man in my doorway. Hey, you're the guy from Sedona, Arizona. What you doing here? Was that the vibe? Like, when you saw him, were you like, yo, when I was in Arizona, it was you. Did you talk to him when you saw him? Or did you just look? Did he disappear? Like, what's the closure on that? Like, when you see him standing in your doorway, what's the next move for you? Do you close your eyes? Do you look away and look back? He's gone. Do you try to make verbal contact? Like, what's the move? What did you do in that moment? Because I'll be wondering, man, like, how do they exit? You know, how did they get off stage? I called my friend and let her know he passed away and was at peace. But like the visual, though, like the visual of him in your doorway, did he just vanish while you were looking at him, or did he walk away from the doorway? He just left. Oh, he just walked away. Okay. And when he walked away, could you hear his footsteps on the ground? Did it sound? Did he make sounds? Like, you know, just natural walking away sounds. Oh, he disappeared. Wow. That's incredible. All right. I'm fascinated by these stories. Okay. More stories, y'all. More stories. All right. Here we go. This is from Cherie Greer Dial or Deal. I think it's Deal, Dial. I'm not sure if it's Dial or Deal, but it's spelled D-I-E-H-L. Deal? It's that Deal right there, man. Cherie Greer Deal. Hey, Tony. Now, I don't know if this was paranormal or a creepy landlord, but here's my story. All right. I was 19 years old and asleep alone in my first apartment in Oakland. Shout out to the Bay. I suddenly woke up with the creepiest of feelings that I was no longer alone. I jumped out of bed and flipped on the light. No one was there. I went all through my apartment, scared beyond belief, still to find no one there. I started walking back to my room when I saw my front door ajar. I wasn't waiting around to figure anything else out. I threw on some clothes and immediately left. Now, this is the type of time I'm on right here. I feel you 100%, Cherie. All right. The thing is, there were only four apartments in this building, two downstairs and two upstairs, and the unit downstairs for me was empty. The landlord was in the other downstairs unit, and there was just me and another female neighbor occupying the two units upstairs. Landlord John was a pervy old man who watched Benny Hill all day, giving off weird vibes. If you know Benny Hill, man, that's Benny Hill. That's a great reference. All right. I could usually hear him enter the building because he was mad heavy-footed. So I would have heard him coming up the stairs in the middle of the night. So since there were no footsteps or sounds of my door being unlocked and open, could it have been him or was it paranormal? This story, over 30 years later, still gives me the creeps. What do you think? This is tough because, you know, there are creepy individuals out here who like to watch and pray and be voyeurs of women out here just living their lives. So the fact that he was already a creepy old man, pervy McGee, watching Benny Hill all day, that's just like, you know, was he peeping on you? That's the vibe I'm getting. And the fact that he was like, yeah, let me leave. And was he watching you from the downstairs apartment? Is there a way that he could, like, finagle his way to watch you up top? And then he had two women staying upstairs. He's like, yeah, I have units available. He probably turned away like male tenants, like, that had all the credentials that he needed, but he was like, nah, man, I want women up there. but also you said he was heavy-footed though. So I feel like he's not gonna effectively creep up on the come up, because you're going to hear his heavy-ass footsteps. And so, I don't know. I don't even know. Like, you know. And I feel like the Bay got a lot of old buildings, too. So, maybe it was like a little haunted building situation. You just happen to have a creepy landlord. But I feel like the landlord was in on this. I don't trust him. I don't trust his landlord, man. I don't trust him one bit. I'm like, yeah, you up to no good down here watching Benny Hill. And I'm not saying that you know, Benny Hill was a perv or a creep like that. But, you know, if you're not familiar with Benny Hill, he always had the ladies on there. So it's like, Benny Hill, you say? And he could have been walking heavy as a smokescreen. M. Hollis said that. That could be true also. I don't trust the landlord. That's what I'm going with. I'm going to go landlord first, paranormal second. Thank you for that story, though, man. I appreciate you. All right. This story is from Eric Short. Oh, he got some things to say. This is E. Short Sachs, man. Shout out to E. Short. He in the building right now, as a matter of fact. He got some stories up in here. All right. What up, Tony, man? This is E. Short Sachs. I am black and all of the people in this are black. He just wanted to set the record straight off the top. This was my first encounter with a demon one-on-one. Oh, shit, dog. We about to get into it. This was back around 2009 while I was in college. My wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, and I were volunteering at this church youth camp for 4 days in the summer. So this one little boy, he was probably around 7, 8, started wilding out and being disruptive. So I separated him from the group and walked with him from the barn where they were playing games. This was a farm-like estate with a barn to the front of the house. He was still mouthing off, so I had him do some push-ups, and then I took him in the house because it was getting hot outside. And this is the end of June in Virginia humidity. I'm already feeling the temperature. I'm already sweating right now. He was still mouthing off, so I had him lay down, and I told him to hold his feet 6 inches from the ground. At this point, there were other adults, the cooks for the house, and looked to be mid-age. They were commenting, he's gonna be right now. By this time, his demeanor started changing, and he was beginning to sweat a whole lot. So I asked him if he had some act right and ready to behave and go with the group to the next activity. He didn't answer. I repeated it, and his face shifted a little, but I chalked it up to, you know, me seeing things because I was hot. I said, come on, let's go and learn about God. He's still laying on his back, legs on the floor when I said this. And the little boy said, fuck you, fuck y'all, and F God. I'm not going to say, he said, F God, because he ain't about nothing anyway. Snarled at me and tried to bite me. His body started moving similarly to a snake, and he kept trying to bite me because I had my right hand on his head. By this time, the cooks who were all dipped, was like, nah, this ain't for me. So the cooks ran. So me being a 19-year-old alone with this demon-possessed kid in the church camp, and I remember what my great-grandmother told me. If I came into contact with a demon, she died a month or two after this, she said, don't be afraid, or at least don't show you're afraid, because it'll get to you. So I placed my left hand on his stomach, right hand still on his head, and I started praying and hiding the fact that I was terrified. By this time, another volunteer, it was only like three of us volunteers. She was the oldest, about 23, 24, to my 19 and my girlfriend's 20. Saw me struggling to keep him down and say, oh no, mama. Her mom and dad were the leaders of this camp, and they came in and helped me and the little boy, and they came to help me and the little boy and got that demon spirit out of him. When it was all said and done, I held him down by myself for about 7 minutes, and it felt like I was trying to push a car uphill, not lying. I had no idea that spirits could be strong like that, because this was like an 8-year-old boy weighing 70 to 80 pounds. I don't know the average weight of a third grader, but he was average size, and I was struggling with him. Going back to when I was by myself, I can't tell all the movements he was doing with his mouth, but it was like his jaw opened dumb wide, and he was deformed as well, as his eyes and head were like different. When I saw that, I was terrified. But something like that, I'll pray for you. And then that's when he started screaming, wiggling more, which is why the 23, 24-year-old volunteer came around, because of the noises. The whole thing was about 25 minutes. And as a result, it's hard for me to see scary movies and be afraid. I've never had a tongue like my wrist and arm before, nor did I know tongues. Okay. So I've never seen a tongue like that, and nor did I know tongues could be that long. Little dude was cool afterwards, and we ain't have any problems the rest of our time. I went up to the cooks, mainly the dude who looked like mid-40s or so and was fit, and I was like, bruh, you ain't want to help me? He was the one saying those are great exercises / punishments for little dude to get the rest of the staff. He said, I was, until he started slithering around. I have hands for people, not demons. That cook was like, nah, man, you got it. You got this. Hell no. Do y'all feel the cook? I mean, you know, not everybody built for tackling demons, man. Not everybody has the wordplay from the Bible to combat these demon kids. That's a crazy story, Sax. So you basically Constantine up in here, man. You stood your ground. Because a lot of people would have ran. And then the fact that you thought about your grandmother's words a month before she passed, by the way, sorry for your loss. And that was the tool that you needed to stand firm and stay in there. Even though you were scared, you was like, nah, man, Constantine. So you might have saved that little boy's life and soul and not even realize it. I mean, you might realize it, but yo, you stayed there with that kid. Because I don't know, man. I might have been out. I might have been smooth out. I'd have left that whole retreat. I'd have left everybody behind. My girlfriend, too. We're like, where'd Tony go? Gone. I'm out. Dunzo. All right. All right, this story is from my friend Ivana. Now she came to Tony the Ball Brothers show last night, so I talked to her after the show. She said she had some stories. And it took everything within me not to ask her about the stories. But I was like, I'm gonna wait for tomorrow. So now I'm like, all right, now I'm in now. Okay, here we go. When I was little, I used to see my grandmother. She died before I was born, okay? So when I'd be at my grandmother's house, her mom, she would sit on the end of the bed and talk to my cousin and I. I used to think it was a dream until I was talking about this dream, and my cousin said she remembers the same thing. She had on white and had long black hair. We used to call her Sandy, which is not my grandma's name. That's my mom's name, by the way. In the same house, there was a squeaky step, so one would always know when anyone came home. Years before the encounter with my cousin and I, my aunt was sleeping at the house. She heard the step creak and saw someone standing in the bedroom doorway as they were looking in on her. She assumed my great-grandmother had often had gotten home from work and was checking on her. A little while later, Nanny actually came home. Neither instance was scary, which is what leads us to believe that it was always Grandma checking in on her baby and spending time with her grandbabies she never had a chance to meet on this side. That's that pleasant energy again. And we talked about this last night, but like, I feel like spirits know how to come to you. Like, you always hear about the sitting on the bed stories about how, you know, when you lose a loved one, they sit on the bed, whether it be a parent, a grandparent, somebody, they sit on the bed. And I feel like there's a reason for that. I feel like there's a reason why they sit on the bed. Because I feel like when you catch us in our sleep state, like we in between like sleep and awake, I feel like that's the best time to hit us up, because it's like we're probably going to be calmer because our bodies are more relaxed because we sleep kind of. And then we just kind of go with the flow. It might be less pullback. It might be less resistance, less frightening. Exactly. And like, you know, I feel like we'd be more receptive because we're not all the way dialed into, like, you know, our waking life. And so we might think it's a dream and then we'll go with the flow. Because a lot of times if it's not something completely frightening to us, like a giant spider or like, you know, a demon just hopping on the bed willy-nilly, we kind of go with the flow when we're in our sleep state. We just be like, we be talking, we be doing, we just, you know, because our dreams be wild sometimes. Oh, it's a Pegasus in my living room. And we just accept it. We're like, oh, snap, it's a Pegasus in the living room and a silverback gorilla is riding. And then we just be in the living room. And that was going on in the living room and I was making pancakes in the kitchen, crispy edges for them. And then, you know... And then I looked up and I had no ceiling on the roof. It was just all sky and the sky was Skittles. And we just accept all of that. So the fact that, you know, her and her cousin both experienced like the same woman sitting on the bed is like, that lets you know that it wasn't a dream, that it was in fact real. And I feel like ghosts know how to approach us. They know not to pull up. Don't pull up on me as a ghost while I'm doing the dishes in the kitchen. Don't pull up on me because I'm gonna break the plates. I'm gonna drop a plate. You know, don't just be standing behind me while I'm doing the dishes in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? Don't come to me while I'm in the shower and you snatch that curtain back and be like, Tony, remember me? I'm your grandmother from Granny. My dick's out. My dick is out, Granny. I appreciate you checking on me. Why you got to snatch the curtain back? My dick's out, Granny. So I feel like they know, like, all right, I'm going to pull up on the bed. I'm going to just sit on the bed. Because my mom has a ghost story of her own. And so it involves, like, the elders, you know what I mean? Just checking in on the babies. So that was warm. Shout out to Ivana for that. All right. This is from Linda Duet. I don't know if it's Duet or Do It. It's D-U-E-T-T. Is that the Duet? Or is it Do It? Either way, I like your name. Shout out to Linda. All right, here we go. Here we go. Let me hydrate. Ooh. Ah. All right. Hey, Tony, my name is Linda, and I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. First of all, you want to talk about haunted visuals, you go to Cincinnati. You hear me? Go to Cincinnati, you're going to get the old school architecture, the old man. Let me tell you something about Cincinnati, man. Cincinnati is big haunted, so I'm already in. All right. Here in Cincy, we have the Cincinnati Music Hall, which has been known forever to be haunted. I've been in the music hall many times over the years, and I've never seen anything, felt anything, or heard anything until about 10 years ago. I went to see a production of Ida. The first half of the show was great, but I was wiggling in my seat because I had to go to the bathroom. When intermission came, I shot up out of there so I could beat the crowd, which I did. However, my joy of not having to wait in line vanished when I opened the door and turned the corner. It was empty except for the very last stall, which showed someone in a deep black Victorian-type dress and boots. For some reason, my brain said, get the hell out of there. But my bladder said, girl, go to the bathroom. So I went into the first stall. I was in there for less than a minute before someone else came in. It was two ladies. They came in laughing and talking, and I could see their shoes as they passed by the stall I was in. Then they both suddenly went quiet, and I heard them each close their stall doors. I wondered if they saw it too. I came out and went to wash my hands. I was too scared to look back at the stall, so I looked at it through the mirror. There was nothing there, empty. I turned around and looked and only saw those two women that came in. I have never washed my hands so fast. I got up out of there. I watched the second half of Ida, but I kept trying to make it make sense. I never saw or heard anyone walk past my door except for those two ladies, and no one in the production was dressed like that. They wouldn't be using the bathroom in the lobby anyway. I don't know what I saw, but I know it made me feel uneasy the moment I saw it. I haven't been back to the music hall since. Now, I'm not familiar with the play Ida is about. I don't know if it's set back in those Victorian times. I don't know nothing about Ida. So the fact that there was a woman in the restroom on the Victorian tip is crazy. Now, if indeed Ida is set in that Victorian era, maybe it could have been like an extra or like a stagehand or an understudy. Aida. Oh, that's how you say it? Oh, it's set in ancient Egypt? Oh. It's set in ancient Egypt? If y'all telling me it's set in ancient Egypt, then you saw a ghost, Sheldon. You saw a ghost. If it indeed is set in ancient Egypt, which I didn't expect. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a ghost. That was a ghost. But I love the fact that you still peed. I love the fact that you was like, it's probably a ghost in here, but I'm going to get this piss. I'm going to pee. I'm a pee. Do what you got to do on the haunted tip. Do what you got to do, but I'm a pee. So if you come through the stalls, I'm going to be like, no, no. Excuse me, just 1 second. No, don't come in here. Hold on, ghost. I'm still peeing. No, hold on. I'm gonna run in a second, but I gotta get this pee out. No, but I'm still peeing. Because, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You got to pee. When nature calls, you got to answer. Thank you for sharing that story, Linda. That's crazy. Go back to the music hall, though, man. Don't let one Victorian ghost punk you out of going to the music hall, man. The music hall is a good time, man. You need a great night of entertainment, man. Don't let the ghost punk you out of your living. All right, here we go. This story is from M. Hollis. All right. Hey, Big Tone. This is one of your original patron saints, M. Hollis, the Spaniard 23 on IG. V_Spaniard23 on IG. Here's my paranormal story. When the whole Eastern Seaboard went out of power and I was at work, we had to go around in the dark to check out the doors. Me and my coworker, who was on my left, were looking out a door when I heard and felt solid footsteps going into the darkness to my right. I turned to him and he was looking in the same direction. I asked him if it was him. He said, nah. He asked me. I said, nah. We both said, nah. I closed and locked that door and we ran up out of there. Never went back up there again. You have a good one, big dog. Nah. Now, see, that is the epitome of what a real life horror movie is going to be. That right there is the real life horror movie. It's going to be short, sweet, no investigation. Nah. That's it. Out. Never went back up there again. The movie is over, directed by James Wan. Done. Out. M. Hollis was out of there. I don't blame you. I don't blame you, man. We ain't got time to be investigating nothing. Get the hell up out of there, Shorty. That's going to be the name of my movie, man. Let's get the fuck up out of here, Shorty. Rated R, man. Rated R. Okay, this next story. Thanks for that story, M. Hollis, man. I appreciate you. Thanks for rocking with me after all this time. This is from Annette Rogers, all right? Tony, you're my favorite comedian. Thank you, first of all. She said very favorite. Thank you. Okay, on with the story. My youngest son and my nephew were born after my father passed away. I'm sorry for your loss, Annette, first of all. When my nephew was 2, my youngest son and I went to babysit him in Austin for a weekend while his parents were out of town. So my son and I were playing with my nephew in the living room, watching TV, playing with toys, etc. My nephew kept going to the corner of the living room and looking up into the corner. He would look up there and he would smile. And then he would come back and he would look at me and he would sort of laugh. And then when he would go look in the corner again and he would sort of look up to the corner and laugh. I was like, okay. So he did this off and on, you know, most of the day. And at one point, I was sitting on the sofa, and he went over to the corner, and he said very clearly, bye-bye, Papa. And then he turned around, and he looked at me, and I was like, what? And I turned to my son, and I was like, did you hear that? And I explained it to him what happened, and we were both just sort of looking at each other like, what? After that, he never went back to that corner and looked up there. None of that. It was a little spooky, but also sort of comforting that maybe my dad was there looking over me and his 2 grandsons that he never met. Annette, a.k.a. Funicello. That's why your name is Funicello. Annette Funicello. Yo, that's crazy. But that's another instance of it's spooky, but it's not simultaneously. It's like that was your dad. Right there, looking at his grandkids. And to me, it never be like, I would feel good after something like that. Like, I would just be like, you saw him? Like, you know what I mean? Like, Because that's amazing that, you know, he was young and just like, all right, he kept going over there. That means he was having a good time with his grandfather that he never met. So he, in a sense, he got to meet him. And I wonder if your son ever had any experiences with him as well. Because it sounded like it was just a nephew. And also, are you in here? Are you in the chat right now? Are you in the Chatsworth right now? I don't know if she's in here. Because I wonder, like, and you know, you can answer this in the comment section if you're not in here right now. But like, I wonder, did he die in that house? Because I wonder if he died there in Austin at the house. I'm curious. That's a great story. All right, we're going to a story from HT. HT sent the story. Hey, Tony, I went through a lot of trauma when my mom passed away a few years ago. I'm sorry for your loss, first of all. A few years ago, and when I got together, I noticed that her TV would go on and off by itself, especially when I was going through some form of illness. It would really go on and off a lot. Talking with my older cousin, we came to the conclusion that it was my mom. But when I told my sister, she came by one day and unplugged the TV because she wanted to stop it. God bless. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So you think your mom was trying to communicate through the TV set? We on some poltergeist type stuff now. And they say there's an electrical component or relationship with the paranormal. And so, you know, something like that is crazy because it's like, yeah, what if your mom really was trying to connect with you through the TV? Like, because they try to figure out what, and also, are you comforted by the TV? Is like, is the TV something that calms you or like brings you to a state of just like centeredness, or you know, is that something that you frequented a lot? Because I feel like they would try to use like a tool to get your attention that you would often use. So I wonder, and you, the TV definitely has an energy. Like, you ever notice like sometimes you can tell when the TV is on, even when there's no sound. You could just feel the TV being on. And I always noticed that ever since I was a kid. I was like, yo, the TV's on. And so that's when I knew. It was like, yo, there's an energy coming from this. Crazy. All right. This is from Miss Makiba. Oh, she got some stories up in here. Miss Makiba. All right, here we go. Hello, Tony Baker. First, please know that I cracked open a new liter of water before typing this message because the telling requires proper hydration. Let's dive deep into my paranormal experience, shall we? First of all, that intro was amazing, and I'm a crack open a swig myself. Ooh. All right. Here we go. I often hear what's happening around me as a slight echo, but not in a Sunshine Anderson kind of way. You know those kids in Minority Report who are precognitive? I have a version of that condition. I hear certain bits of conversation as if they are pre-recorded messages. Since I can't find the proper name for how I experience sound, I refer to it as being meta-aural. Shout out to JJ Fad. I am too supersonic. Here's how I discovered this about myself. 3 years ago, I relocated to Northern California for work. As I lay awake ruminating over whether moving 2,200 miles away had been my best decision because it was so far from my whole family, until I noticed that each time I closed my eyes, it felt like I was hearing the colors on the television. Overwhelmed, I muted the TV but still felt the pulse of the colors changing the screen. Confused at this point, I turned off all lights and sound. Was this a sign that I had made the wrong choice? Man, we were just talking about energy from the TV. That's crazy. As I finally drifted off to sleep, I felt myself floating, which is not uncommon dream sequence for me. However, I quickly stopped floating and began accelerating through what I can only describe as the cosmos. In my mind's eye, I could see my core essence stretching out into thin, colorful waves of sound. Still pretty calm, I say to myself, oh, this must be what the people are feeling when they sing that California Dreaming song. I love that song, by the way. Then I felt more than saw my daddy cross my astral path. Here's why I should tell you that my daddy passed away in 2017, nearly 5 years to the day before the events I'm describing. So my daddy crossed paths with me, and my brain felt like a rocket launched me through time and space. Next, my auntie, who worked for the same agency that had just relocated me for my job, crossed. She passed in 2018. Instead of freaking out, I realized they're both in their moment to let me know, even though I'm physically far from the family is spiritually wherever I am. Tone, as soon as that thought connected in my brain, I became part of the frequencies I was seeing as light and lifted a warp speed to see my grandmother face to face, who, if you guess, she passed in 2007, go buy 2 lotto tickets. Right now, today. Sidebar, the whole experience helped me understand why I could never smoke the weed with the homies in college. Can you imagine me high while this was happening? Anyway, shortly after this, people at the job started transferring out or quitting pretty rapidly, and I get promoted within 5 months of the move. Onward and upward, right? Elevation. If not for my family reaching out to me the way that they did, I would have definitely been among the quitting or transferring crew. Instead, I'm out here living lavish and easing into year 3 as the dust has finally settled. Thank you for taking the time to read this Mandarin message and reflection. Shout out to the patron saints. Meandering, that's what I meant to say, my bad. Yo, that's crazy. And it was like your family showed up right on time. And the fact that you had like an experience, like I equate your experience of like floating through time and space and like probably colors and like, you know, that California dream. And that song always gives me visuals anyway. But it kind of reminded me of when I tried DMT. And when I tried DMT, I went on a journey through like a portal of just like light and like colors and like, you know, what you would see at like a weed shop or whatever, you know, that type of artwork and stuff like that. And I was just like, yo, this was crazy. That DMT trip was crazy. I was just like, yo, it really felt like I went on a trip, and the visuals were just like, yo, this is where they get these type of visuals from. Like you actually see it with your own brain or whatever. And so I was just like, wow. And so, yeah, that's a great story. And I'm glad you made the decision. And look at you now. Look at you now. Promotion, living lavish. So the family be coming through when you need them most. That's a great story. All right. This story is from, this is a quick one. Wait, is this a story? Hold on. I don't even think this is a story. All right, we're gonna dip out on that. All right, hold on. Oh, snap, this story got pictures. The hell? This story got pictures, y'all. I'm going to post the pictures on Patreon later if y'all want to see what we're looking at. All right, here we go. This one got the pictures. Shout out to Ryan Williams, Ry the Poet. Peace and prosperity. Huge fan of your work and art form. Keep up the awesome work. I have two stories of the paranormal. The first one goes as follows. I live in Baltimore and visited the Ford McHenry Battlefield. While walking around, I took pictures. Thought nothing of it. While looking through them, I saw something a bit out of the ordinary in the background. And the first photo is clear and a normal picture. However, in the background of the second photo, it looks to be an individual or shadow with a hat. Both pictures were taken simultaneously. Not sure. I guess it could be the angle. However, I talked to security and they stated that no one should have been on the top of the fort with the exception of a construction worker. Nevertheless, no construction workers were present. And so, oh wait, hold on. This zoom in is crazy. Huh. The second story goes as follows. I sometimes have sleep paralysis. On this occasion, I was in an apartment alone and usually I could hear the TV and music playing. My eyes could open and look around. However, I was unable to move. I tried to move but couldn't. I was lying on my side and I remember seeing a dark shadow while looking at the entrance to my room. So now I'm really freaking out. I'm trying to move but I can't, and then I see a shadow at the entrance of my room. Now my heart is racing and I close my eyes and I try to wake up, and then I feel something crawl onto my bed. Now I'm panicking. Then I feel something touch my side and I wake up. After waking up in the shock because it felt real, I look at my side area where I felt I was touched and there was a scratch there. I have no pets or animals staying at the apartment at the time, so I move. Nevertheless, I rarely have sleep paralysis anymore. Those are my two true stories. Keep up the amazing work. Much love and peace, Ryan. Yo, man. Sleep paralysis scares the shit out of me. Sleep paralysis be tearing me up, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're never ready for it. And I really hate it because most times that I've had sleep paralysis, it's always been in the daytime when I have an unscheduled or unplanned fall asleep. Is usually when I have sleep paralysis. Like I can never remember a time where I had sleep paralysis at night. It's always in the day, like a quick, like if I lay down and doze off or something like that, it's always like in a quick state of like, I'm not really going to sleep for real, but I just doze off and then I get hit with sleep paralysis. Now, the last one I remember that really bugged me was I was at my apartment in Burbank and I just laid on my bed face down. I laid on the bed face down with my head tilted to one direction. So I'm laying on my stomach, right? Just flat, just laying on the bed. And I fall asleep, but I fall asleep with my bedroom door open. So I'm just laying on the bed, the door is open. And so I get into that state where I can't move. And while I'm in this state where I can't move, it feels like something is coming into the room. And I'm just like, and that door is open already. So I'm just like, you know, and I'm trying to get out of the, you know, because I don't know what I'm feeling, but it just feels like something's coming in there. And I'm just trying to get out of the paralysis, so I'm struggling internally because I hate that feeling, and it feels like I hear things too, but I can't remember a distinct sound in this moment. But I definitely feel like something is coming up in there, and so I eventually just muster my way into the awake, and then it's just like, ha, I hate that feeling, man. The sleep paralysis is terrifying. Overdrive Pixie said, my grandfather saved me from being in a sleep paralysis state. He's no longer with us, so seeing and hearing him says, it's okay. You can breathe now. Tore me up. I miss him. I'm sorry for your loss, man. Zakiya said, I listened to a reading saying that the so-called sleep demons are not as evil as we think they are. Oh, okay. I hope they're not evil. No, don't bring your evil ass to me. Don't come over here. Don't come over here. Okay, y'all. Remind me to put the pictures that that Ryan sent in the Patreon a little bit later. I want to thank everybody that sent in their stories. We might do another paranormal episode. Maybe another one this month. Maybe. I'm not sure. Because next week I might have to shoot two back-to-back episodes, so maybe the second episode could just be a couple of quick paranormal stories. Man, I want to thank y'all for sending your stories in and sharing them with us, because these are amazing. A lot of them felt really good, honestly. Like, they were really, like, family-based stories that felt really good. And thanks for sharing that with us, man. I appreciate y'all. Shout-out to Amir with the light control. We back. But I want to thank y'all for tuning in to another session of Verbal Cardio. I will keep y'all posted on the next one. I want y'all to spread the word about this podcast, man. Tell your family, tell your friends, man. Spread the word. Don't forget to like, comment, share, engage with the content, man. We got to keep it going. We got to keep it going. Shout out to my patron saints, man. Y'all make this show a lot better. Tony didn't read my story. You sent the story in, Shane? Hold on. Oh, she just sent it. That's why I ain't see it. Okay, I'm going to do one more story on the way out. One more story for Shan on the way out. My bad, Amir. He was already shutting the party down back here. Shan, you late with the story, man. But we doing this for you. All right, here we go. Hey, Tone, old beautiful bald-headed ass boy. One Easter morning, a longtime friend finally hit the point where they decided they couldn't live life on life's terms anymore. So they pulled out a box cutter, and as soon as I saw it, I kind of knew something was about to pop off. When I reached for the box cutter, they yanked back and sliced through my thumb. Had to get stitched up and everything. When I got cut, I immediately grabbed my thumb to apply pressure. In that moment, I looked them in the eye and they sliced the entire length of my forearm. All I saw was yellow fat inside their arm. Oh, they sliced their forearm. All I saw was yellow fat in their arm, and it immediately started bleeding out. I jumped on them, pulled them to the ground, and tried to hold the wound closed and apply pressure. By this point, everyone in the complex was surrounding us. I'm screaming for towels and for folks to call an ambulance. Whole time, they're just crying beneath me and saying that they don't feel pain anymore. While this is going on, an older woman stood over me and asked if it would be okay if she prayed over us. I said, sure, that's fine, not thinking anything of it. What I did notice is that she was in a beautiful Easter dress with a huge hat. So the ambulance finally came and they took them to the hospital. The next day, people were checking on me and I was thanking folks. And in thanking people, I was asking if anyone knew the name of the woman that prayed over us. I asked so many people that were right there with me. Nobody ever saw any woman. Nobody ever heard any prayers. I do believe I experienced a ghost that Easter morning. That's crazy. That's crazy right there. And the fact that goes new, let me help y'all out, man. Let me get in on this. It's crazy, especially in a moment like that, that was that crucial, that traumatic, that, you know, it was a lot going on in that moment. You know, you saving somebody from taking their own life. And then this, this angel pretty much essentially came through at the right time. Came through with the Easter dress on, with the big hat. Man, angels be pulling up when you need them. Yeah, Shan, that was a story right there. I never knew that. I never knew. I know Shan, you know what I'm saying? I never knew that you actually saw a ghost slash angel. That's incredible, man. That's crazy. On Easter morning, no doubt. Easter morning. Hell yeah. All right, y'all. That's it for the paranormal episode, man. I appreciate y'all. Sorry to those that sent in stories that we didn't get to. I still got other stories that I never got to previously, too. So we got stories in the canon, you know what I mean? But I want to thank y'all, man. I appreciate y'all. And I'm always all ears to these stories, man. I love them. I'm all in. Thank you to Amir for the light control. And thank you for tuning in to another session of that verbal cardio.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.